is Corolla Digital.
Allison Rosen. Hey everyone, it's me, Allison Rosen. This week on Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend, I sat down with Chris Loxamana Maxipata, Matt the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, and Gary, I just call him Gary, and we talked about whether waiters really mess with your food, which superpower you should choose if given a choice, and this hot topic. Okay, boom. The question is, toilet paper over or the flap over or under? Which is better? Do you have strong feelings about it?
Oh, very strong feelings about it. Friendships have been ruined over this.
I knew this would happen. Good. Yeah, okay, tell us.
Over.
Why?
Because only fools will put it under. Why would you put it under? You want easy access. I almost took my hand off the button to illustrate this. You want easy access. You want to be able to tear it as easily as possible. Over all the way. Come on.
What happened,
Chris? Chris, you're looking like you don't see me. You don't hear me.
No, I completely agree. I would only do under if I was playing a prank on my friend.
That's right.
Or yeah, if I was really mad.
Chris looks like that because he was here for the part when Allison said she prefers under.
Well, no, I'm saying
no. Done. I'm leaving.
Subscribe to Allison Rosen as Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
This episode is brought to you by Hulu Plus. With Hulu Plus, you get total control to watch thousands of shows wherever you want, whenever you want. Binge on full seasons and watch your favorite current shows like Community, South Park, SNL, and more. Right now, my listeners can get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus by going to HuluPlus.com/Larry. That's HuluPlus.com/Larry.
From Level 5 City in Glendale, it's This Week with Larry Miller.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone who really likes old movies. Hi, folks, and welcome back to This Week with Larry Miller. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And it gets better every week. I say that every week, but it's true. That theme song, which was originally found by Colonel Jeff, just terrific. Makes me smile, and it makes me think of those men playing those instruments in whatever that was, 1926 or something. And that guy playing especially the tuba, the ha, 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 ha. I just love that thing. And, of course, that's the Mark Catalina Orchestra and the Muriel Greenleaf Dancers, featuring boy tenor Patrick Gee, asking the musical question, what would happen if Sam didn't play it again? Well, that's a fair question, a fair and appointed question, a fair and appointed and a blunt question. But the thing that Patrick was interested in knowing is, of course, that became a title of a great play. Was that a Woody Allen play that played Again, Sam? And it's one of the greatest movies of all time. I'm not big on making lists, but I think Casablanca is one of the, what would you say, the handful or top 10 or something movies. It just works on every level. It's moving and funny and deeply important. It's not just one story about anything, even though, well, love is a giant theme. But there's a point, one of the running pieces in it is Sam, who is Rick's partner, and that's Humphrey Bogart's partner. And Sam is playing the piano. Sam runs the band there and the orchestra in the club. And they have a song that they love. Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman had a song, of course, As Time Goes By. And if you don't know this, first of all, see the movie. If you haven't seen this movie, Casablanca, see the movie sometime. It doesn't matter that we're going to talk about it a tiny bit now. See the movie. It's so satisfying on so many levels. Just see the movie. And if you've seen it once or twice or six times, see it again. It never disappoints. It's such a good movie, constantly such a good movie. And in this, Sam, who is the piano player in the movie, gets joined. He plays the music for them and sings it as they do. You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. And it's a beautiful song. And then at one point, they since they break up, well, he says to Sam, never play that again. And Ingrid Bergman comes in and says, play it again, Sam. By the way, although that line is not actually in the movie, we were talking about this now, and Colonel Jeff and Dr. Chris and I were wondering, but the truth is, that line is not in the movie. No one ever says, play it again, Sam, in the movie. There is a line, I think, like, play it, you played it for her, you can play it for me, play it. And then I think she says at one point, play it, Sam. But still, we were just talking about this. I really feel that Play It Again, Sam, as a title, is one of the greatest titles of all time. And it's great for show business because anyone who ever says, say, that's really not in the movie, is correct, but it doesn't matter because that title is better written that way than any other way. It works just perfectly. Play It Again, Sam. And is it in the movie? No. Does it matter? No. It really doesn't. And so what would happen if Sam didn't play it again? Well, in a very basic level, and this is why I'm glad to talk about this now. Glad, do you hear? Glad. But I'm glad to talk about it because the truth is there wouldn't be a movie then. It's such a dramatic and dynamic part of the storyline. What would happen if no one ever said that? Or if Sam didn't play it again? But he did because that's the story. You might as well also ask, what would happen if there was no World War II? Well, there was, and it was a big part of the story. And the interesting thing about this movie is so many things that work for me in it. So many things. It was written by two fellows, the Epstein brothers, and they were also twins. And at the end of the movie, remember, this is a movie where they didn't know until 3 days before they shot it how it was going to end. That is, who's going to get the girl in this? And who's going to go where? And they just didn't know. And the Epstein brothers, they were told, well, by the studio, by I think it's a Warner Brothers picture, they were told, you know what? Go write an ending. And they just couldn't come up with one. So here these two twin brothers are driving along the studio lot in a Jeep, because remember, this is 1941, so this is World War II. And they're driving along in a Jeep, just going, well, probably to lunch, and they stop at one of the stop signs. And as happened so often, it happens still in life with twins, they just get the same thought at the same time. They're thinking, how could we possibly end the movie? And they stop at the stop sign, and suddenly they both blink and look at each other and say at the same time to each other, round up the usual suspects. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what that's about, but it keys the whole point of the end. And it's so dramatic. It's such a perfect choice. They came up with it together at the exact same moment. But it tells an interesting story about how stories are made, how motion pictures really work, and how editing is such an important part of the way the story is told. Because the way it's written in the movie, the way they wrote it, and the way they turned it in that day was, round up the usual suspects, says Claude Rains, the inspector there, the French policeman. And then he says, well, that's just it, round up the usual suspects. More happens in the movie that I won't tell you about. He says, first, Major Strasser's been shot, and then round up the usual suspects. They go to see it after it's shot, after it's filmed, and the people are mad, Jack Warner and all these people, the executives, they're mad. They say, this stinks, it's no good, it doesn't do anything. And they watch it in the screening room there, and sure enough, it doesn't do anything, and it stunk. But the Epstein brothers instantly said, that's because you edited it wrong. And they were right, and that was changed, the way things aren't changed that much in motion pictures. This was changed because the way it had been shot, the way it had been edited, the way it was in the screening room, was that Claude Rains says, the police pull up and he says, Major Strasser's been shot, round up the usual suspects. And they said, that's not the point of the line. That's not the point of the story. That's not the point of that moment. And they suggested, and it was edited this way, and this has now been part of that great picture for so long. Claude Rains says, the character says, Major Strauss has been shot, and then he just looks over at Bogart. You see his eyes move. He looks at Bogart. Then they cut to Bogart looking over at the inspector, just looking at him. Then they cut back to the inspector just thinking about it and trying to figure his way through it. One more time, cut back to Bogart again, and then back to Claude Rains, who finally says, round up the usual suspects. And when it's written like that, when it's edited like that, when it's acted like that, it's such a hugely satisfying moment. But without those edits, without those cuts, it is nothing. That's a way to tell a story. And that kind of editing, that kind of storytelling was so hugely popular and became such a dramatic part of the way movies are made. It's in so many movies now. It was taken and used again in so many movies, The Godfather being one of them. The very end of The Godfather, if you know it, and I'll bet you a dollar you do, the very end of The Godfather has Diane Keaton in the office with Al Pacino, and she's saying to him that, did you do this? Did this very dramatic thing, did you kill so-and-so? Did anyone know about this? Did anyone know about that? And she says to him, and he says to her, if you remember, just this once, I'll let you ask me about my business just this once, this one time. And she says, did you? And then it's on her face, remember. It's not the two of them together. She says, well, did you? And she's looking at him. Then it's the same thing. It's a cut to Pacino looking at her. Then a cut back to her where, without words, she just acts this beseeching quality of she's trying to get him to say something. Then one more cut back to Pacino, who looks at her, thinks, and finally says no, which is huge for her as a character. She hugs him, but we, the audience, know, of course, he's decided to lie. And he's okay with that. He's not going to tell her the truth of his business. But it's good for her. So the look on her face is one thing. And the look on his face tells you something so deep about the kind of people they are and the decisions they've just made and the distance that will always be between them. So it's a huge thing. So in answer to the question, what would happen if Sam didn't play it again? Well, number one, Patrick, and all you folks out there, number one, well, that wouldn't have been a movie because there'd have to be a movie because that's part of the movie. But what really would have happened is a great part of American storytelling would be gone and a great part of storytelling that would be used again and again and again in the future would be gone as well. So you know what? What would happen if Sam didn't play it again? All I know is that I'm thrilled it didn't happen that way. And that makes it, Patrick, a great question. If you were here and this were a game show, I think we'd give you a washer dryer. And it would have to be something like that. One of those gifts were on game shows from the 60s and 70s. You know that's a pretty good gift. In fact, that's a great gift. But when they get a washer dryer, come on, does it have to be that? How about can't you just give me a shoebox full of 20s? Wouldn't that be better? Because I'd like that. A washer dryer. So in any case, that's what would happen if Sam didn't play it again. And by Hulu Plus. That's a new sponsor of ours, Hulu Plus. HULUPLUS, Hulu Plus. Now, this is really a successful company, a great company. We're thrilled we're going to be working together here now. Ask yourself this now. You've tried streaming hit shows on your PC, on, say, Hulu.com. Now it's time to start your free trial. That's a great word for them to use, by the way. The free trial of exclusive content in your living room and on your mobile devices on Hulu Plus. With Hulu Plus, you get total control to watch thousands of shows wherever you want, whenever you want. That's pretty good. Now, use Hulu Plus on connected TVs, game consoles, Blu-ray players, Roku, Apple TV, PC. Watch from anywhere on your smartphone or tablet on demand at all times. And with Hulu Plus, you can binge on full seasons. Watch your favorite current shows, even full series runs of classic TV shows, It's endless. They've got The Office, Modern Family, Community, Glee. They've got more. They've got so much. And Hulu is only, there should be a drum roll for this, because this is a great price, I think. Hulu is only $7.99 per month. It's $7.99 per month, which is pretty great. But right now they're offering an extended free trial of Hulu Plus that is only available to podcast listeners. And guess what? That's you. We're a podcast. This Week with Larry Miller, our show, my show, us together. It's you, and you can take control of your TV watching experience. Here's how you do it. You go to HuluPlus.com/Larry for your extended free trial. Again, you go to HuluPlus.com/Larry for an extended free trial. And I have to be honest, I'm not only really happy we're working together, well, that's a pretty terrific company, but I'm thrilled I never had a chance to read or perform or do anything where I got to say /Larry. And I think that's pretty neat. HuluPlus.com/Larry. And so welcome, guys, to a great show that I think is going to do great for you. And by Amazon. That's right, Amazon, another sponsor. We're lousy with sponsors here. We're full of sponsors. And Amazon, of course, is one of our favorites. And we've been with them, and they've been with us since the very beginning. We just love them. Amazon, as you know, is a company that you go to them on your laptop, you go to them on any device you have, and you order anything in the world you can possibly think of, right? Wrong! Wrong! You don't! You don't do that. You never go to them like that. What you do is you go to our website. Ah, ha, ha. Yeah, sure. Now you know. You go to our website, which is LarryMillerPodcast.com. And we have a banner there that says Amazon. You click that banner, and that takes you to Amazon as if you've just gone there. But now that you've gone there through our website, everything you order sends us part of the dough. Amazon sends us a percentage of what you order there. And remember, you go to Amazon, you can order anything in the world you want, anything that enters your head, anything in the world that possibly hits your imagination, with the exception of an actual Amazon. You cannot get an actual Amazon. I've told you this before, but please listen to it again. If by chance you order something, you go to our website, shave and a haircut, two bits, LarryMillerPodcast.com, and you go to Amazon there, and you know what? If by chance they send you all your goods and it's brought by an actual Amazon, a real Amazon, a tall, muscular, gorgeous, single, willing, thrilled Amazon, don't be afraid, number one. Number two, do nothing. Call us first here. And, well, in the blink of an eye, suddenly you will see Colonel Jeff, Dr. Chris, and I at your door, and we will shake hands with you and say thank you very much. And when you say, would you like to come in for something, we'll say, no, we're going to leave with this Amazon. And we will take the Amazon with us back to our laboratories here and at the broadcasting company, and we will make sure she's on the up and up. And then we'll let you know. Unless, of course, it goes really, really well. And then I'm afraid you don't get to be part of the team. But what you have to be part of the team on is by going to LarryMillerPodcast.com, clicking on our banner that says Amazon, ordering anything in the world you want for real. And we thank Amazon because then they send us part of that. And it helps, as we like saying here, it helps keep the lights on here. And in addition to which, for our next drink-a-thon and fried chicken-a-thon that we're going to get to any year now, but when we do, that's the dough we're going to use for it, I'll tell you that. So thank you, Hulu Plus, and thank you, Amazon, which leads us perfectly into the joke of the week. That's right, the joke of the week. The joke of this week. Not the daily joke. It's the weekly joke. The joke of the week. And here it is. It's from our list of the 100 best jokes in the world. And it's very sweet, by the way. There's one of mine that's on actually just before this that we've done on the show. But that's very flattering. And I thank them for that. And here's a joke that I and Colonel Jeff and Dr. Chris thought was a good one. Here we go. A guy with a huge orange head goes in to see a doctor, and the doctor says, "How did you get such a huge orange head?" And the guy says, "Well, one day I was walking down the beach when I tripped over an old lantern. A genie came out and said, 'I'll grant you 3 wishes, whatever you desire. What is your first wish?' I said, 'I'd like all the money I could ever spend.' The genie goes, poof, and there it was, all the money I could ever spend. Then he said, 'What's your second wish?' And I said, 'Well, I'd like a beautiful woman to love me, someone I could enjoy this money with.' The genie went, poof, and there she was, a gorgeous girl who immediately loved me. And then the genie said, 'And what is your third wish?' And I think this is where I went wrong. I said, 'I'd like a huge orange head.'" And there you have it, the huge orange head joke that we laughed at. That's one of those kinds of jokes. We've discussed this before, that different kinds of humor in the world and different structures of regular jokes. But, boy, that's just fun to set something up like that and go around the block on it. And it comes back to, well, what's the big mystical reason that he has this? Well, he was so happy with the money and the woman that he didn't know what he was doing. He figured he had to say something. You can't just say, "Gee, I'm happy with these two." You ought to, by the way. If you ever trip over a lantern and a genie comes out, you ought to say, "You know what? I'll just take the 2. You get the dough and you get the beautiful woman, who might just be an Amazon. And you say, "You know what? I believe," when he says, "What do you want for the third one?" that you might just say, you might as well say, "You know what? I'll be honest with you. The 2 was enough. I don't need a third. Thank you just the same. But please give that to someone in your family for a third. They get a wish, whatever they want. Or you use it. You could use it, that wish yourself. You could say, "Hey, you know what? I've had enough time being in the lamp here. I really don't want to be in the lamp anymore." Or if you really can't bring yourself together and do that, if you really can't say, "I just want the 2, if you really feel the pressure to be someone who answers all 3, to be honest, you might as well then say, "You know what? I'd like a huge orange head," and just see what happens. Let us know only if you also get an Amazon. So I like that joke a lot. We do here. The man with a huge orange head. And that leads us into the something I love very much, the poetry corner, which is something that really adds a lot to the show. I love doing it because poetry, remember, is a different way to think, a different way to speak, a different way to hear images, and a different way to just love being alive. It's very, very different from any poetry for the most part today, but I think it's just wonderful. And today we're going to give you a classic written by, well, a classic. It's called "Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night" by the wonderful Dylan Thomas, who was a great poet and was in and out of America many times. He was Welsh, and he always wrote in English, by the way, and a great lyricist, a great poet, a great master of words, and someone who, well, set a really great tone level. He died very young, but, boy, he sure could write. And here's an example of it. It's called "Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night." Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end know dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight and learn too late they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men, near death, who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay, rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on that sad height, curse, bless me now, with your fierce tears, I pray, do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And I hope that is even a small fraction as beautiful and moving as just holding these words on paper is. My golly. And all the things we write and make as storytellers, as all the things we perform, you know what? That's worth buying someone a drink for. If you ever saw Dylan Thomas, you might walk up and say, you know what? Can I buy you something right now? Because I sure am glad you could put words together like that. So there we are for the Poetry Corner, which leads us into an interesting, well, an interesting comparison to layer one on top of the other, because our magic movie moment this week is about Casablanca, and it's already come up, obviously. We've talked about that because of Patrick's question, what would happen if Sam didn't play it again. But there's something very meaningful to me in Casablanca so much. I say again, if you've never seen it, just see it. It's not that it's going to change the universe, but you should know, if you like stories, if you like movies, if you like storytelling that way, if you like anything that brings great groups of talented people together like that, I can't imagine anything better done than Casablanca. And it's just a classic. I have a feeling in another 100 or another 500 years, you never know, but I have a feeling that's still going to be a great movie and people are still going to say, have you seen Casablanca? You really should. And the magic movie moment that I love talking about so much is when you know something so well in a movie. You, the watcher, you, just one person, and you've said for yourself or for others. You don't tell them about it beforehand, but afterwards you can talk about it. And a magic movie moment is something that really is a big part of the movie and means something to you every time you see it. And to me, it's just knowing, in this case, it's a story about how it came up that the Epstein brothers, well, wrote Play It Again, Sam, and all those great lines, and when they first wrote Round Up the Usual Suspects. Because the Epstein brothers, remember something, were making a story here that was very complicated, but they wrote it just perfectly. And they got to a scene there. That scene at the very end is such a magic movie moment for me. And if it hadn't been edited that way, and if it hadn't been written that way, and acted that way, and directed that way, and produced that way, you know what? When Claude Rains says to his policemen who've just shown up, he calls away about 20 feet and says, Major Strauss has been shot, and then it's all in the looks. We were just saying this before. Sometimes movie making is all in the looks. It's all about the writing, of course, but when Claude Rains then turns his eyes and you know he's looking at Bogart and you know what his character's thinking, you know how good this actor is, and he just looks at him and he's thinking of what to do. And then they cut back to Bogart, who's, of course, looking at Claude Rains, and he's waiting to see what Claude Rains is going to do. And that's another look. It's such an interesting, deep look. But not overshot. It's not something that's overdone. A lot of times in movies today, you see something where people overact or overwrite or overdirect, you know, where people are suddenly, their jaws start shaking and they start quivering and they start really overacting and overtelling the story. But just seeing Bogart look back at Rains and then cut back to Rains, and he's got a different expression now. He's still thinking about it, but you can tell he's thinking about his friend Rick, too, and about what they can possibly do now, and most important for his character, what he can do now. Then back to Bogart again, looking at him, and then back to Rains, who clearly has decided, and then says to his policeman again standing there, turns to them and says, "Round up the usual suspects." And that's a good Magic Movie moment for me. It really is. And that what can done be done to make you move that way. I had seen that movie, Casablanca, as a kid on TV in New York 10, 15 times as a kid with my parents. And I just adored the movie, but we always watched it in the house, of course. And when I went to college, they had a program where once they had Casablanca playing, and I think it was on a double bill with It Happened One Night, which is another great black and white movie with Humphrey Bogart and with Clark Gable. But it's a great movie, It Happened One Night. And when Casablanca came on, I'd never seen it in a theater setting. It was a science classroom where there were a couple of hundred kids there watching it. And I realized I had never seen it in public. I'd never seen it the way it was made to be seen. It's like seeing a play without seeing the play performed. Sure, you can read a play. I've read so many of them. But how much better to see it with others in the same place. And when Casablanca played, every moment I had adored as a kid was in that movie, and I could hear people loving it the same way, and they had never seen it. No one in that room had seen it, and they were reacting for the first time, and when they got to the end in that movie, when he did as I just described it to you, as you probably know, and if you don't, you should see it now and see it, when he says, "Major Strauss has been shot," and they go to Claude Rains, cut to Bogart, cut to Rains, cut to Bogart, back to Rains, round up the usual suspects, there was such a joyous cheer. They were loving what the story had given them, the gift that those characters had just given them. And I enjoyed that so much, being there for others to love it now the same way I did it. So, you know what? That's what makes these things magical. Boy, it was such a magic movie moment to me. And that's why for today, for right now, an anecdote I wanted to tell you has to do with something I was thinking yesterday anyway, which is on Memorial Day, and we just had Memorial Day, and we always want to do things. I think anyone wants to do things, especially if you have kids. Last year, I took my kids and my wife and I took them out to a federal cemetery where a lot of soldiers are buried there, and these are men who died in battle. And it's not overly dramatic or melodramatic, but just to get out of the car and walk along through a very large graveyard and see, it's not that you have to see 100 or 200 graves, but just to see a handful, really, and to think, look at that name. Look at those dates. Look at what happened in this young man's life. And it was very, very meaningful. And yesterday, I had a classic great holiday. It's not what I thought it would be. I thought, well, we'll do something different this time. We'll take the kids and we'll go somewhere for Memorial Day. And then I realized, number one, one of our kids had already made plans to get together with some of his friends and, do whatever they do, which is fine. So he leaves. He goes out of the house. Oh, all right. And then my wife had gotten tickets for the other kid to see Star Trek, the new Star Trek. And, well, okay, that's fine, too. That leaves me alone with the dog. And I thought, well, I guess I hadn't thought I'd be alone on Memorial Day. But you know what, folks? That turned into something so great because you're alone now, and it's a day off, and it's a holiday. And, all right, you can do a little work, but how nice to just lie in bed with a bowl of cereal and the dog thinking, could I eat that, too? And how nice to be in that bed and to watch another great war movie, as my dad used to call them, a war picture. It's a good war picture. And there were so many good ones on. And sometimes I would have two going at the same time. You could just switch back and forth. But there's one that also has a great, well, a good magic moment for me, too. And it has so much in it. And it reminds you, though, what it means to have a Memorial Day, what it means that so many young men serve and were killed in battle. And that movie is The Longest Day, which was made in 1962, I think. And what a cast. I was just saying to the fellas here that that's one of those movies where they had some huge, great stars who had small parts in that, who just came in to be part of this great storytelling being done. And good Lord, Henry Fonda, Robert Mitchum, so many interesting guys. Robert Ryan and of course, John Wayne, who's, oh, what a great part he has in this. And there's just, there's a scene that became so meaningful to me that as they go, it's near the end of the picture, and John Wayne has been looking for, well, F Company, which, because they all came in on gliders, and F Company overshot, which is true, by the way, overshot their landing zone in a glider and landed in the town where the Nazis still were. And they were coming down in parachutes, and they were killed, all of them, as they came down in parachutes. Not every single one was killed. Many were wounded, but they came down, and to be hanging on the chimneys of buildings because the parachute gets caught, and then having these other guys come running out and aim up at you and shoot you or kill you or just wound you. And at one point near the end of the picture, as they're all working so hard to find out, they don't even know who won anything, who's winning this battle, who's winning this landing, this invasion. And you know what? John Wayne, who's got a broken ankle at that point, is being carried around in a two-wheel cart, and he comes into the town, and he says to one of the executive officers there who's under him in command, and he says, well, what are they, what's that? And the officer says, well, that's some of our boys. They got killed when they came down. And Wayne kind of explodes in a good acting small way. He just says, get them down. Get them down now. And remember, they still don't even know where they're going yet. And the guy says, well, I just thought, you know, we'd find out. And Wayne says, get them down now. And these are not the exact words, but he said, that's not why they came here to fight and die, to be left up there like that. And it's written so well, and Wayne performs it so well. And it's such a good part of that character saying to the other character, it doesn't matter where we go from here, but we're going to do our jobs here, and we're going to do them well, and we're going to win. But for now, the only important thing is you get them down right now. And it's such a nice moment to me of this storytelling that in the middle of this, of these 10, 20, 30 big stars at that time, telling this big story of, the Americans landing, the British landing, the Canadians landing, and then, of course, how the Nazis react to that and what their plans are. But that moment of saying, you know what, it doesn't matter that something went a little wrong. It took all these young men's lives, and they were killed. Get them down now, and if we do nothing else, at least we won't leave them hanging there like that, against the whole point of their being here in the first place. And I always thought that was just wonderful. And it means something to me. And it meant something yesterday, too. But I'll tell you what, it makes you think again. Whew, all these giant stars, I guess they're all gone now, but I sure am glad they were together to tell this story. So, as always, remember, if you walked out of bed today and had a job to go to and a home to come back to and someone there who cares about you, folks, the game's over and you've won. And that is absolutely true as it's ever been to me. I hope for you, too. We'll see you here next time, and thanks. Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus and start watching your favorite hit shows right now. Go to HuluPlus.com/Larry for your extended free trial. Again, go to HuluPlus.com /Larry for your extended free trial.